listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our conversation. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here, and I'm especially glad our honored guest is here today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome you, welcome you all to this conversation. And we'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to all of us?
Hao, metaki api, chantelo waste, nape chuzi apelo, kunsi wakpi waste, ibachi ap. What I said in my Lakota language is I said, hello, my relatives. I'm Quincy Goodstar, and I greet you with a glad heart and a warm handshake.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Welcome. I'm so happy. I feel butterflies because I know we're going to talk about such a wonderful thing today. What's on your heart right now?
Ooh.
Never ask a question that you're sure you want the answer.
Well, when you ask a preacher a question like that, it's like, how much time do you got?
That's wonderful. Well, we invite you to take your liberty, but just remember, it's not
right.
24/7 around here.
Yeah, we're on the clock. Yeah.
But truly, we do want to know, you know, we want to know, what is it that you have that you'd like us to know today?
You know, what I was actually meditating on this morning,
mm-hmm.
Was how everything in Christianity,
mm-hmm.
Needs to be taught from the foundation that the work is finished. That grace is the gospel. Everything needs to be taught from that foundation, whether it's chastisement or parenting or tithing or flowing with the gifts of the Spirit. Everything needs to be taught from that foundation, because what Jesus has done, he got rid of every formula. And so grace, undeserved favor, Jesus' gift of righteousness, not reward, not achievement,
mm-hmm.
his gift of righteousness puts us all on the same level.
Wow.
And so, you know, there's nothing to qualify for, because Jesus has qualified us in him. And so, you know, but today, you know, and I believe it's an issue of control that many present these teachings in such a way that I have something you don't.
Mm.
And if you learn what I know, this formula, then maybe one day you can achieve the level of spirituality that you see me walk in.
Mm.
When in all reality, we are 100% righteous in Jesus, every single one of us.
Wow.
And so that is, in a nutshell, what I was meditating on this morning.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is so powerful. And I think about So often when the gatekeepers try to tell us that there's some flaw, there's just something that's between you and God right now, something that's just between you and Jesus, it usually has a price tag. You know, buy my book on Seven Steps to a Miracle, or, you know, pay for this, or give me this, or do this, and you too can get healed. And I'm thinking about how many times, I mean, my big sister and I, we would, my aunt, send us a book, and it'd be, you know, here's the formula that somehow will make your prayers work, or somehow will get your healing for you. And then we would feel so, like, if it didn't work out, we'd be like, oh, it's something we did. We must have missed one of those steps. We must have not done it. And so I love what you're saying because of the freedom and the liberty in it.
Yes, and everything, just what you said, you know, mm-hmm. what you described so well, you know, it makes the individual, makes us self-focused.
Right.
And it takes our eyes off of Jesus mm-hmm. and puts the focus on ourselves, when the Lord, he doesn't want us looking to ourselves for anything.
Mm.
He wants us looking to Jesus. And, you know, he says that, you know, the law, the Old Testament, is types and shadows and pictures. And it's when the law was given, the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, he, right after he gives the Ten Commandments, he immediately says, now build an altar. In other words, mm-hmm. he's saying, you're not going to be able to keep
yeah,
these.
You're doomed.
that's why you need an altar.
Yeah, better just get started.
Because you're not going to be able to keep these. Yeah, you're not going to be able to keep these. You need a place for sacrifices to cover you, because you're not going to be able to keep these. But this is what he says. He actually gives directions mm-hmm. on how to build that altar. And he says, to make a ramp to go up to the altar, right?
Oh,
but this is
yeah.
what he says about the ramp. He says, let there be no steps in it.
Oh, my.
In other words, there's mm-hmm. no 1, 2, 3 to get to Jesus. Mm-hmm. We all come freely, he says.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no formulas today. And so, you know, it's interesting, because if someone thinks that, well, let me back up and say this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord, he says in Hebrews that he desires and wants every believer's heart to be established, founded in grace, in undeserved favor.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is, you know, well, one, he doesn't say established in faith or obedience, and hey, we're all for those things. But, you know, the Lord knows that your faith and your obedience is a fruit of your heart being established in undeserved favor. And so what he says happens when your heart is established, founded in undeserved favor, he says, no longer will you be blown about by every wind of doctrine.
Mm.
You end up becoming settled. You end up becoming secure. You end up becoming cool, calm, collected. You become a believer that unbelievers look at and want to be like, instead of thinking, oh, geez, they're real weird. You know? You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, right. And so, you know, it's, and there's a lot of strange doctrines out there. And, you, uh-huh. and it's interesting, because everybody is trying to come up with the latest thing. And but nobody is improving on what Jesus has done. And when the Lord talks about doing a new thing,
mm-hmm.
he was referring to the new covenant. And so,
beautiful.
Right, but every revival seems like doing a new thing when
yeah.
nobody's improving on what Jesus has done.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
One for
right.
all, right? Oh,
right, yeah, we can get to know more of what he has done,
right.
but nobody's improving on it, and there's no formulas that come out of it. If there's anything to do, it's actually just to believe. Believe that he remembers my sin no more. Believe that, hey, his gift of righteousness is in my life, and I have eternal redemption through his blood. And this gives somebody strength, power, courage, peace, self-control, love, joy, all unconsciously, effortlessly. And now you're a real genuine human. You're not trying to become just because you're afraid of some consequence.
Yes. Oh, wow. There's so much freedom in that. And there's so much joy in that. I was thinking about, I teach preschool storytime classes, and I was reading something wonderful, and they were saying that one of the just most prominent signs or predictors of a bright future for an early learner, a young child, is a secure attachment. And when a child knows they are loved by their parents, their teachers, their loved ones, who their caregivers, their siblings, just whoever it is, they actually have a better chance in life of flourishing in everything else that they try to do. And so when you said that about being secure and settled, what does that kind of secure attachment, that settled and grounded and rooted in the love of God, the love of Jesus for us, what does that do in every other area of our lives?
Oh, it produces seeing that and having that drop into your heart. It produces a victorious life. You know, every fruit of the Spirit, and it's interesting, you know, it's called fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's not fruit of Quincy. It's not,
yeah,
it's
right,
not fruit.
Right,
of,
right.
It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
And, but yet we teach these things, and I use the editorial we to be nice, you know, that we teach these things as if they are things to achieve, when they are actually fruit of the Spirit working in every believer's heart. You know, the more, and what the Spirit is doing, Jesus said, is he said, he'll take of what is mine, and he will show it to you. And the more we see what is Jesus's, because what is his is now ours in him, because he freely gave it to us. His righteousness as a gift. He is our wisdom. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. And the more we see these things, you know, the character of not our salvation, not our righteousness, our character can grow.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's like a marriage, you know, there'll never be joy in the marriage if you are constantly thinking that person is going to leave you. You know, but being secure is knowing that, Jesus, and he knows every ugly thing about us, things we don't even want to share with our best friends, and he knows, and he says, I'm not ashamed to call you little sister. I'm not ashamed to call you brother.
Yes, amen.
And that gives us security. And then, man, then you can pray for people without thinking, oh, am I good enough to pray?
Right.
You can, you know, share the gospel with somebody, not and you don't think, oh, am I good enough to share this? You know, all of that stuff, it just wipes it out. All these qualifications that just go out the window. When you know how secure you are, including fear. You know, there's like a push, especially during this time with in the body of Christ in America, especially about the fear of God, you know. We need the fear of God back in the church, and that's what people need. And they refer to it as like God's judgment.
You know, right. Like, yeah, they'll say that.
His wrath, you know. You need to be afraid that God's going to do some things if you don't measure up. Well, you measure up in Jesus.
Right.
In Jesus, you're complete. But the way David defined and described the fear of God, one, he described it as a fruit. And he described it as respect. He described it as awe. And he says, what gives birth to that fruit of respecting and fearing the Lord with awe? He said, there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. And that's in the Psalms. And so if there's a lack of the fear of the Lord in the body of Christ, it's because there's a lack of preaching and teaching how forgiven we are in Jesus. Oh, man, I just felt that one.
Yeah, me too. I did. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, my. My granddaddy, when he would preach and something, that moment of revelation would just happen, he'd say, oh, that shackle's breaking, children.
That's right.
Somebody just got free. Somebody's free. And I was thinking about in Southern homes, men answer the door. Like if somebody knocks on the door or rings the doorbell, I don't go get it, right? My uncles or my father, they go get it. They answer the door, right? And when I was real young, one of the things I realized, my granddaddy said it. He said, well, now listen. He said, if Satan ever comes towards you, you send Jesus to answer the door. Or better yet, you remember that Jesus already answered the door, and he's dealt with the enemy outside of it. And yet, I'm seeing a lot of return to sort of this idea that we have to fight the battles with the enemy, right? Like there's conferences on how to fight the enemy and books about how to battle the devil and all of that. And yet, Jesus said it is finished. Why do you think we're returning to that place, or what can we do about it?
You know, it's interesting that, you know, man, how do I put this first? Man naturally defaults to working for his salvation, trying to cover himself. That's like our natural default mode. And the Lord, he calls it the flesh. And it's like Adam and Eve, you know, nobody had to teach them to cover themselves. So they fell, and automatically they started going to work, trying to cover themselves. It's like, who in the world taught them that? It's like nobody even had to teach them that. It's like in man to try to, the flesh that wants to achieve and perform and do. And so that has crept into the gospel. You know, and, you know, it's interesting that because if there is one fight in the new covenant, and the Lord actually says it's the fight to believe correctly.
Right.
It's not doing, it's believing. You know, and so he says we bring every thought into captivity. He says to the obedience of Jesus. You know, it's not our obedience, it's Jesus's.
That's right.
And so when these thoughts come that, oh, you know, the enemy is attacking you and the enemy is going to do this to you, you know, because of people, because of the old covenant being mixed with the new covenant, which is neither covenant. It's
right.
Something. Yeah, it's some two-headed freak.
It is. Yeah, it's a mutant. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, so then the believers have been deceived into trying to fend for themselves. At the same time, saying the battle is the Lord's, but yet they're the ones stepping up to fight. And then, but when the enemy puts a lying symptom in somebody's body or hits their bank account, and we don't go by what we see, those are things we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the fight is on in the mind to believe correctly that despite what I see, Jesus still is providing, over-providing for my every need according to his riches and glory. Despite what I feel in my body, he says, by his stripes I am healed. So it's a fight of believing, not doing.
And really,
you can say it's a fight to remain at rest in your heart.
Uh-huh.
Because the Lord calls resting and believing, resting and faith, resting and grace, synonymous. And so, but what's interesting is when somebody fights with the enemy, they leave their high place of having. And so they actually step, and so you could almost say they already lost because they're fighting with somebody who's already been defeated.
Wow.
And what a trick of the enemy to try to, that he lies to believers and deceives them into making them think that he's more powerful than what he is.
Right.
When Jesus said he's under our feet and that he stripped him, according to Colossians. But so we're fighting, so when somebody is fighting against somebody who is already lost, it's like, what in the world?
Right.
What a deception.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it goes back to the ignorance of the body, not knowing how victorious we truly are in Jesus. Because when he said that he finished, it is finished, he meant that.
That's right. Well, then let's take him at his word. How victorious are we, Pastor Quincy?
Ooh. That's like saying, how victorious is Jesus?
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there are whole churches full of people singing songs about how we're downtrodden and miserable and how we're just hanging on and we're coming up the rough side of the mountain, right? And in reality, wow, as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes, and, you know, I have a whole message called The Devil Isn't What He Used to Be.
Right.
Because when Jesus died and rose again at the cross, he changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
He changed covenants. He changed us. He changed, he even changed. The Bible says he's not that Jesus who walked physically on the earth.
Mm.
That he got up with all power and the name above every name in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, and so, and he also changed the devil.
Mm.
And so, but that's one you never hear about. We actually hear preaching and teaching like as if the devil is the same from Genesis to Revelation when he is not.
Not, yeah.
Jesus changed him at the cross as well. Stripped him. Put him under our feet, kicked him out of heaven. That's actually in the Bible. God don't even talk to the devil today. He has nothing to say to him.
Nothing.
But yet, because Christians do. But,
yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And you know, that old teaching, you know, that again, it's a mixture teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Of the devil coming before God to accuse us. And if we did it, then God has to let the devil have his way. That is a lie.
That's right.
Perpetuated by the enemy because the enemy has been kicked out of heaven. And this is why the scripture says in the New Covenant, who can bring a charge against God's elect?
Right.
And the question's rhetorical. It's nobody.
Nobody.
Because you have been judged righteous once for all. You are righteous as a gift. You have eternal redemption through the, according to the riches of his grace, which are immeasurable, and he remembers your sin no more. So who? Mm-mm. Who? Man, I get myself fired up.
Amen.
Who can bring? Not the enemy, not nobody. So he was changed forever.
Well, praise God, because I love what you were meditating on earlier. If we take everything now and put it through the lens of grace, which is the gospel, which is truth.
Yes.
We start getting it right. We start, things start going, oh, I see, all right, this is wonderful. So what does it look like when we start teaching everything, parenting, marriage, family, finances, healing, our walk with God, whatever it is, right? If we just start using the truth, what does that look like in our lives?
What does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said we were on a time limit here. But, you know, for example, you know, well, when we depend on ourselves, you know, for marriage, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's always going to be rocky. But if the work is finished, oh, man. There's peace. You know, like parenting, for example, that's a big one. It's like, well, how do we correct, you know, if through grace?
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord, he actually says grace is a teacher, and grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. It's interesting because he doesn't say the law does that.
Right.
He says that grace does that. And Paul's way of correcting people, Christians, believers, the most corrupt church was the Corinthian church. And there was all kinds of bad things going on in there. That things I don't even want to mention. But,
reality show.
But yeah, it was like the worst stuff going on in there. And Paul, his way of correcting them is he said, don't you know you are the temple? And so now that you know you are the temple, why do you want to unite the temple with a harlot? Mm. And his way of correcting was reminding them who they are, not who they are trying to be, who they are. And so, you know, my daughter, she was a child. She's a young adult now, and you know my daughter Azaria. And when she was growing up, the way I would correct her, I learned from Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell her, I say, "Hey, you know Azaria, Jesus girls don't do this."
Right.
And so I was, and so. You know, she, I would say, yeah, Jesus, girls, do this. Mm-hmm. And she grew up. What I was trying to do and what I did was to fortify her identity.
Yeah.
That she's a Jesus girl.
Mm.
And because you're a Jesus girl, Jesus girls, don't do that. It's like, rather than, oh, I'm supposed to be a Jesus girl, so I better not do that so I can be one.
Mm.
No, you are one.
You are one. Oh,
yes.
That's beautiful. I'm a big fan of her. I think she is a lovely, lovely young lady. And I'm a huge fan of her. I love her. And I think that's interesting and wonderful because I tell my son, you're a mighty man of valor. And
amen.
Mighty men of valor, this is what they do. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't think a mighty man of valor would want to do that. And so it's so comforting to hear you parenting from that place, because so often we're given lists, we're given laws, aren't we, in little ways, like we don't do this, we don't do that, and just everywhere we go, we're given sets of rules and regulations and laws. But I hear you bringing us all into relationship. And I think that's so powerful and so beautiful. So what happens when we really just, because I think a lot of us are tired. I'm using the royal we and us. But a lot of us are tired because we've worn ourselves out trying to get things that we already have, right? Trying to somehow convince God to bless us. You know, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. What? He didn't pass you by. He's trying to load you with benefits. And yet, a lot of folks just, I mean, shout louder, pray harder. And folks are getting tired. They're getting burnt out. But they're also getting disappointed. There are people I meet and they're disappointed. They feel like God didn't move for them or didn't care about them. So when we take this, like you said, everything needs to be taught from this foundation. How do we begin that in our own lives? Like, how does that enter our lives? How do we begin to learn about everything through the lens of grace?
Well, I do know of one awesome book
called
Grace is the Gospel.
I gave you that shameless plug moment.
Yeah, shameless one. Yep.
No, we're welcoming it. It's wonderful.
You know, and each chapter in that book is dedicated to answering one of those questions, like, okay,
amen.
If the work is finished and I have no part to play in my salvation, what about faith without works is dead? And what about chastisement? What about tithing? And I answer each one of those questions from the scriptures in that book. And so, but, you know, while you were asking that question, I was thinking, you know, you're absolutely right, because, and it's sad today that because of a lack of the knowledge of how finished the work truly is by Jesus, what Christians end up doing is, if something doesn't work, they'll look for something else to try to apply.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Another formula.
Yes.
Rather than when the testimony, if everybody took a step back and took a look at how the Lord manifested a victory in their life, it's always the same. And everybody, and what I mean is, everybody always says the same thing. I tried this. I tried that. I tried everything. And then finally, I just said, I give up. And then there it was.
God was like, thank you.
Right. Yes, thank you for getting out of my way. And so that is like the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, it's interesting how there's an interesting verse that the Lord, he says, Christ has become of no effect to you.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
He says, you who seek to be justified by the law. And so it's interesting because, one, they're not trying to sin. They're trying all of these things to do.
Yeah.
They actually, you know, and he says, you know what? You're trying to be of an effect in your own life. And so God is like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he says, Christ has become of no effect because you're trying to be of effect.
Oh, my.
And so then immediately when we back off and say, I give up,
mm-hmm.
then now Christ Jesus can be of effect.
Wow.
Because one, he shares his glory with no man, he says.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, it's not, oh yeah, I got 25% of the glory and
yeah, right.
Jesus 75%. It's like, we did it together. It's like, no, it's all Jesus.
I read those healing scriptures every morning, and I'm telling you, it's like, what? No. Oh, this is so helpful. This is so wonderful. We have to go to commercial, but before we do, would you please tell us exactly how folks can contact you, get a copy of that book, be part of what it is you're doing?
Yes, the easiest way is to go to QuincyGoodStar.com, and everything can be reached through there. The links to the books, messages, emails, all that stuff. Just go to the website, the TV program, everything.
Wonderful. Well, y'all do that, and we'll do this, and we'll all be right back in just a moment.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. What the world forgave you?
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of confidence soaring.
Our mission is to educate, inspire, and honor.
This is the sound of honor roaring.
We should never, never forget those that gave their lives.
This is the sound of a generation rising above.
337 for Bravo Fox Papa.
We want to be involved in the education of young people so that they can take our aircraft and the stories that our pilots tell and realize their own dreams.
The Commemorative Air Force honors the heroes of yesterday while educating and inspiring the heroes of tomorrow.
Your future and how you live your life is dependent on how you think.
You can learn more at commemorativeairforce.org right now.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Well, we are loving this conversation. Truly, this is awesome. And I'll ask our guest, would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Sure, I'll do it again.
Wonderful.
All right. Au metakiapi, chantelo waste, nape chuziapelo. That is our traditional Lakota greeting. And for me to introduce myself in any other way to you all would be an insult to you. And what I said was, my name is Quincy Goodstar, and I greet you with a glad heart and a warm handshake.
Well, we sure are glad you're here. And there's so many wonderful things that you're doing. I want to make sure that we talk about Grace City, because I think there comes a point, and when you hear that grace is the gospel and it becomes revelation to you, it's very hard to continue to sit under anything else or to try to have mixture in your life. And so for that reason, we're really happy that you do have Grace City Church. Would you tell us about that, please?
Yes, Grace City is a church I founded about 15 years ago. And just this past September, we went totally digital and online. And so if anybody, we have, last I checked, there are 45 families that are a part of it. And even out of Sweden and France.
Wow.
And so anybody could be a part of it. If anybody wants to be a part of that, go to gracecityinternational.online. And there's a membership form there. Very simple, and can be a part of it. And what's interesting, too, about what you just said, that it's hard to listen to anything else. Mm-hmm. The way I liken it, you know, after you hear how finished the work is,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you don't know how good fresh, clean water is if you've been drinking something else your whole life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't know what you're missing because you never had it.
Uh-huh.
And then once you have the pure, clean, refreshing spring water of the unmixed new covenant, oh man, and the lights come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't want anything else.
That's right.
Yes, I totally get it. And mm-hmm. so,
mm-hmm.
yes, but praise the Lord, I truly believe that, and actually Jeremiah writes about it, that this end time message
mm-hmm.
would be the Lord is our righteousness. Man, that's what Jesus has done.
Yes.
And he, I believe the Lord is having many all over the world dust off these new covenant truths that man has shelved over the last 20 centuries, and he's re-presenting them back to the body of Christ. But it's interesting that I love how he has preserved his gospel over these 20 centuries, because there was always a preaching of his gospel of grace and peace. I mean, and so, but I see that happening now.
Uh-huh.
And so, and the gospel of grace, it actually makes the Bible one thread. It's actually attractive to the millennial, to Gen Z.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. yes, causes people to run to Jesus, just like the sinner ran to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it causes the sinner to run to Jesus and today the sinner's running from our churches, but but it causes the sinner to run to Jesus again.
I heard someone say in a homeschool meeting that one of our great goals for our children is that when they make a mistake, they should come to find us. That not, I have to somehow cover this up or not, you know, or run away or whatever, but I should find my mama or daddy and they will help me. And that's what I see when grace is the gospel, right? I mean, children wanted to be around Jesus. We don't see any Pharisees with small children, you know, like we don't see like hordes of small children following Nicodemus and other people. We see them running to Jesus. We see people with problems. We see parents bringing their children to Jesus when they had severe problems. We see people with health issues and financial problems and coming towards Jesus and to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, what will we find?
Oh, you will find a present help in the time of need.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls it a throne of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, because of what Jesus has done, we can come boldly, not just beggarly, boldly to the throne of grace, just like we've never sinned in our life, to receive help in the time of need. Not judgment, not, you shouldn't have did this because, you know, now this is why you're going through that. You know, he says to receive help in the time of need. And so I think we all tend to forget that when Jesus protected the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, it's like we tend to not really see or realize that she was guilty.
Guilty, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesus, he protected a guilty woman. And of course, that protection, that gift of no condemnation, launched her into a victorious life. But he protected someone who was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
This is our God. Oh.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. That's good news.
Yes. It sure is. It sure is. And I have a saying I tell people, nobody runs from good news.
That's right.
And so, and so it's like if they're running, maybe it's not the good news.
Maybe not. And so
right.
I want to give you the mic for just a few minutes here, and I want you to share some good news. Share the good news with us.
Oh. My. Again, where to begin? A few minutes, you said. Okay. You know, those of you who are listening, I just want to encourage you that Jesus, when you come to Jesus, if you are in Jesus, he says this about you, child of God, that he remembers your sin no more, that he is not looking at you today as a sinner. He's not looking at you as someone who even needs to improve. And we're all for improving, but he's not looking for you to improve. He's looking at you as complete in him. And you believing that causes you to improve. But he is seeing you as a new creation right here, right now. He is seeing you as clean, washed, once for all time by his blood, so clean that the Holy Spirit, the God who cannot even look at sins, lives in you. That's how clean you are right now. And then all your improvements are a side effect of realizing these truths. And so I want to encourage you to begin to see yourself that way, that you are a new creation in Jesus, that you are complete in Jesus, that you are accepted in the Beloved right here, right now. And Jesus is looking at you as spotless, blameless, guiltless, sinless, because of his finished work that he completed for you, taking your place and mine at the cross. And so today, you are a child of God. You're not a human coming to a God. You are a son. You are a daughter coming to a loving father. And see yourself that way. And right now, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that revelation coming alive in your heart is bringing about health in your body.
Amen.
That someone is being healed right now.
Yes, Jesus.
That your provision is coming through.
Amen.
That door of opportunity is swinging wide open for you, not just a job, but a position.
Amen.
And he's boosting your business and your ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus earned it all for you and has given it to you freely in him. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen. Oh, Mado, thank you for sharing those good words of the good news with us. I want to wish you a happy sobriety birthday. Happy, I'm not sure what we should call it exactly, but what a wonderful anniversary you just celebrated. Would you like to tell us about that 18 years of?
Oh, yes, 18 years of sobriety as of Monday. And the only reason why I remember that it's that day because it was Memorial Day.
Oh, right.
And so, yeah, because so that's how I always remember. But, you know, you're listening to somebody who's been to state and federal prison. And I went to drug and alcohol treatment like 6 times, outpatient once, and none of it worked. And when I began believing the truth of what you're hearing, man, all the drugs, the alcohol, they left.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I can even say by the grace of God, I'm not even tempted by those things.
Wow.
He took every desire away, and it wasn't by effort. You know, it was by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, and he definitely is keeping me. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you this, you know, very quickly. When I was afraid. When I quit using,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to use and I didn't want to use.
Mm-hmm.
Both feelings were there at the same time. And then the Lord led me to the scripture in Jude. It says, now to Jesus, now to him who's more than able to keep you from stumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he's kept me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he's keeping me. And then those desires left. And yes, and not one drop, not one slip, not one puff, not one pill. A true solid victory, a true solid 18. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, the fruit of believing correctly.
That's beautiful. That's beyond beautiful. And I appreciate you sharing that with us because there are folks listening right now that want God to do that for them. There's folks listening right now who want to go with Jesus. Because I believe when people hear a testimony like yours, oh, there's hope in it. There's life in it. It's not, okay, you know, we need you to get saved so you can keep all these rules and possibly be saved. You know, like maybe, just maybe. But
right.
I think when we hear your testimony, it gives us hope because here you are. And here it's all by the grace of God and the wonderful, wonderful Jesus Christ. So I would love it. I think it's altar call time. I'm old school like that. Let's just do it. Let's not wait till later, you know, when we pray or some other time or whatever. If you're feeling the wonderful love of Jesus right now, let's go. Let's go with Jesus. Pastor Quincy, will you lead some folks to Jesus, please?
Yes. If you want to kick bad habits, if you need peace for your mind, your heart, whatever it is that you might be suffering from, you know, when you receive Jesus, he delivers as a package deal. Spirit, soul, that's your mind and your body. And so when we pray this, you are going to freely receive healing for your mind, a new birth for your spirit. And so just repeat after me, Father in Jesus' name.
Father in Jesus' name.
Forgive me of every sin.
Forgive me of every.
And fill me with your spirit.
And fill me with your spirit.
And teach me.
And teach me.
To rest in your promises.
To rest in your promises.
Your love for me.
Your love for me.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, Pastor Quincy, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to make sure that you share with us all the ways that folks can connect with you and can be part of what it is that you're teaching and doing. Our friends that just prayed and have decided that Jesus will be the Lord of their life, how they can connect with Grace City. Tell us all about it, please.
Yes, you can go to QuincyGoodstar.com. And you can find all the links to the TV program, sermons, television broadcast, books. I think I said TV twice, but
that's all right.
You can find all those things there.
You're on twice a week.
And then, yeah, right. And then, and if you go to GraceCityInternational.online, you can sign up for that. And you can follow us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube, Quincy Goodstar Ministries on Facebook, Quincy Goodstar on YouTube. And if you subscribe or follow on Facebook, you will go to heaven.
Oh, yay!
I'm just kidding. Hey, didn't this guy just say there was no formula?
We're playing. Yeah, that's right. Now somebody will make that part of the doctrine. We're teasing.
Right.
I forgot to follow Quincy Goodstar.
Oh, man. Yeah. But yeah, it'd be awesome. You could keep up with where we're at, where I'll be speaking at, and future conferences, services, things like that. So, yeah, it'd be awesome.
Well, that is wonderful. I already can't wait till when you come back. I can't wait till our next conversation. I feel so uplifted and encouraged. I know our friends do, too. And we thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we loved this conversation, and I'm so thankful for each one of you who chooses to spend time with us each week. We know you have other things to do, but the fact that you give us the gift of your time, we're grateful. We love everyone who makes this podcast possible, all those of you who share with us and pray for us and are part of it in any way. If you've ever done anything nice for us, you didn't have to do it, but you did, and we pray that you'll always be blessed for being so kind to us. My name is Dr. Dawn Kurima, and I can't wait until we're all together again next time. I'll see you then.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
You've got the power. the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com.